You're listening to Adopter Stories from the Adoption and Fostering podcast. In this series, we speak to adopters about their motivation and experience of adopting. The focus is them and not their adopted children, as we acknowledge each child's right to privacy and their own story. So in this episode, we speak to Ninja Mam, and she shares her story of adopting two boys. If you'd like to share your story of adopting or would like to speak to us, please get in touch with us through our Facebook page or through our Twitter feed. Thanks very much for listening.
My name is Jo Adamson Parker, and I write on mainly on Facebook under the name Ninja Mam. I'm not quite sure why I came up with that. I think it's because I felt that every day was kind of like a battle and I needed some superpower, so I was Ninja Mam. And I liked to use Mam because my mum used to use that word when she's talking about my nana, so it's a proper northern word. I worked in film and TV for a long time, and then I decided to build a family and have children, so my career went away, and I've got an adopted boy of nearly nine. He's called Pix, and I've got another one, Jackson, who's just five. So thinking about it, I always wanted to adopt. I'm a partner, I've got a same-sex partner, Mandy. She always wanted to adopt. She never wanted to have a biological child. I always wanted to do both. I wanted to carry a child, to have that experience. So I did find it quite hard when we were doing the adoption prep, just to think, you know, I'm potentially never going to carry a child. And people now still say to me, you know, we've had picks for, we got him at 18 months, so we're into our sixth year with him. They still say, oh, did you never think of having your own children? But I always come back with, yeah, and I've got them. I've got two boys. You know, they are my children. So we went to our local authority and went to an information night. We applied to adopt. We had a home visit and we waited a year and got a letter saying, I'm really sorry, you've been unsuccessful. We cannot take it further. And it was just one line. And I got this letter and I thought, it's worse than if we've asked to adopt a dog. It's like they've just told us in one line, we can't have children. They've judged us. And I was really upset, naturally. So I went on the internet and I found the next city on. And I phoned up their adoption and fostering unit. And it was completely different. They were amazing. They had a prep group coming up that week. We went on it. They were welcoming. They were supportive. And they found us two amazing boys. So we had very different experiences, really. And so we had a prep group, met some good people on that, and we got picks quite quickly. We were approved in the January, and then our social worker, we were very fortunate, we got an amazing social worker who was very supportive, a little bit crazy like us as well. She totally got us, and she stayed with us for 6 years, so she adopted the second time with us. So we were approved in the January, and a week later she brought us a one-page profile of pics, and straight away I was like, yeah, that's him, that's my son. That's without even seeing a photograph of him. It was just a one-page A4 brief biog of him. It took Mandy a bit longer, actually, to attach to him, and even now she has a different relationship with him than I do. I think I class him as my soulmate, really. Everything was fine with him until he started reception, So when he moved in with us, he just moved in very quickly. There was no drama, there was no fuss. He just walked in the house, went up to his bedroom, went to sleep. And it was very, very easy. And we used to sit there thinking, I can't believe it's so easy, you know. It's, you know, he's just come, he's just arrived. And we just plodded on, having little adventures, getting to know each other. And we just thought everything was brilliant. But then when he got to school, things started to change, which was interesting. And then throughout his school, so he's in year four now, fighting a battle there to get him assessed, which we really do need that, because he's at a very supportive school, and it is becoming, it's not difficult to manage, it's just a different mindset that we have to get into, you know, right from the words we use to the texture of his clothing, the texture of his, mm-hmm. his food, everything's kind of changing and ramping up a bit. But you know, he's still my son, and he's my boy, and I would die for him. Yeah, I always advocate for adoption, because I think it's been amazing for me. It's given me my family. But before I adopted, I was always really shy, you know, and I wouldn't confront anybody. If I didn't agree with something, I'd just kind of fade away into the background. You know, if you go to a restaurant and your food's cold, I'd probably just have eaten it. Now, I wouldn't have stood up for myself. But having the boys, particularly having Pix, it just gave me this voice, really. I think I might offend people here, but I think I grew a pair of balls. You know, I was just like, actually, I stand up for what I believe in now. I stand up for my son because I have to. You know, I have to be his advocate. I have to be his voice. I have to, you know, protect him, really. So, you know, I might have adopted the boys, but they gave me so much more. You know, they helped me find myself, really. So we did it again. We wanted Pix to have a sibling, because I'm an only child and I hated it. I used to have imaginary friends and people just thought I was weird. So I wanted him to have a brother. And that was a really hard process, actually. We stayed with the same social worker, which was brilliant. But it was a lot harder to adopt the second time, because obviously there was factors. You know, we had to factor Pix in and what he needed. But things had shifted, and there weren't as many boys around to be adopted. And whereas it had only taken us a few months to get Pix, for Jackson it was about 2 years. And we came close a couple of times to a couple of little boys, but for whatever reason, their family finders didn't think that we were the right fit. So it was quite emotional. And I did say to Mandy, after the second time it happened, it fell through, that I don't think I can do this again. You know, it felt like losing a child every time you got so close. And obviously we couldn't tell Pix we were getting close to a brother, because we didn't want to, you know, get him all excited. So it took a while, and it was really emotional, a massive roller coaster. But then Jackson was found, and ironically enough, his foster carer is best friends with Pix's foster carer, so that's quite a nice connection there. And we got Jackson, we met him on his first birthday, and it was a very different process, him coming into the house, because we actually saw him grieve for his foster carer. You know, introductions were horrific, really. She'd bring him to our house, and he'd just spend a day screaming. You know, if we tried to cuddle him, if we tried to feed him, if she left the room, he would just scream the house down. And I remember, I've recently written a blog about this, because I remember sitting on our stairs in the hallway, just thinking, please just take him home. I just, you know, this is too hard. I was I was so glad when she walked out of the, you know, out of the room, out of the house, and took this screaming child away with her. But we stuck with it. Mandy bonded really quickly with Jackson. Very quickly, he used to like fall asleep on her, and she did everything for him. But obviously, because I'm the initial carer, I'm at home all the time. I think that's changed a bit now, but I think she has a very different relationship with the boys. I get pics a lot more than she does, and she has this different bond with Jackson. It's just interesting. So Jackson's settled, but he's amazing though, because he's coming on so much. You know, when we first got him, there was a lot of uncertainty about would he walk, you know, would he talk, would he do this, and he beats all the odds. You know, he's walking, he's running very fast, he's got a bit of a wobbly walk, which is quite funny. He's just a crazy little character. He overcomes a lot of things, and I often look at him, and he's like my sunshine in the day, because it is tough with pics. He is demanding. I get a lot of child-to-parent violence from pics. He gets frustrated, and I've put up with that for about 18 months. So it can be really draining. You can have some horrible days, and then Jackson will just do something, or smile at you, or he's got the filthiest laugh, and you just think, yeah, actually, you've saved me for today. He's the sunshine in a day when it's all horrible, it's all going tits up. And I did want to adopt again, because I would keep adopting, because I just like having children in the house. I think I'm good at it. I think I never wanted to be a special needs mum. I never thought I would do it, but actually I think I'm good at it. I think I'm good at advocating, I'm good at looking after them, I'm good at getting what they need. But actually, having a third child in this house, I think I would go insane. I'd be rocking in the corner. Mandy, my partner, goes a funny colour every time I say, oh, should we get a girl next? She goes a strange ashen white. So, no, I think we're sticking at two. And that's, yeah, it does feel like our family's complete.
What has been the response of your family to you adopting and to the boys?
So I've got quite a small family now. My mum died when I was 26, and my dad was killed in a car accident 2 years ago. So he actually only met Pics, and I had a difficult relationship with my dad anyway. He was very old school, and actually, when I think about it now, knowing what I know about Pics, I think my dad was on the spectrum at some point. So he didn't really understand adoption. He just saw, oh, I've got a grandson. But for him, that meant he would spend 20 minutes quality time with him a week in a coffee shop. You know, he wasn't the kind of granddad that did rough and tumble or just got down and played with him, and it was always on his terms. So yeah, he didn't really understand it. He was supportive as much as he could be, but and Pics didn't really notice when my dad wasn't there anymore, so that kind of shows you the relationship they had. So I have extended family who they just get on with their lives, really, so I don't see any of them. But Mandy has a brother, and her mum's still alive, and her mum is brilliant. Again, I think with her, it takes her a while to understand things, but you'll say something to her, and then she'll sit back and she'll think about it, and then she'll come back to you with an answer. And she has two granddaughters from Mandy's brother, and she never treats the boys any differently. You know, they're her grandsons, And when we all get together as a family, we're just a family. You know, they're not treated differently. They're not treated like they're not blood or anything. I think she does spoil them in that grandma way, which is lovely. She lives quite away from us, so they FaceTime her quite a lot, which is really nice.
So what about thinking about adoption? Is this what you expect? Is your life what you expected?
Not at all, no. I thought when we were going to adopt, I thought, well, I'll scale back my work because I'm freelance. I'll scale that back a bit. You know, I can work around them. And to some extent, I can. But, you know, I built up a career over 20 years and I don't do that anymore because it's not important to me anymore. I think my focus really changed. My passion changed, you know, looking after the boys. And I don't know, I just wanted to do something different. I think advocating for them just completely changed my mindset. And that's why I started writing Ninja Mam, which I love doing now. I love to write. You know, before the boys, I would never have thought of doing that. I run something on Facebook called the Bad Mothers Club, which is, I did a course about a year ago, and it was, you know, how to be a better parent. And I met some amazing women on there, and there's four of us that have stayed, you know, best friends now. And we call ourselves the Bad Mums because, you know, we go into the playground in the morning and our kids are the ones that are shouting and whooping and running around and climbing on stuff. And we're the ones, you know, with the sergeant major voices going, get down, come here. And we, you know, we look like the bad mums. We look feral. And so we just embrace that because we're not. Actually, we're really good mums. And so I've started a group on Facebook that supports other parents that are struggling, other mums, other dads, grandpas, you know, and they come on there and they can ask for advice and they can just post something and go, bleh, this happened today. And you're not judged. And so I'm going to take that into the boys' school now as well. I've spoken to the head there and we're going to run something. I'm not allowed to call it the Bad Mums Club because it's too ironic, but we're going to call it the How Can I Help Club. So that if there's a parent or a carer has had a bad school run, there's one morning a week that they know that I'm going to be sat in a room with a big jug of coffee, a load of biscuits, and if they want to come and rant, they can do. If they want to come and not talk about kids, they can do.
It seems like adoption has it opened a window into a different world for you?
Definitely, yeah. I think it's made me into, it sounds really trite, but I think it has made me into a better person because I want to help people now. You know, I always did before. I wasn't a horrible person, but I think I'm more aware of what could be going on in other people's lives. So I try not to judge other people because I know that I've been judged a lot.
Who's judged you?
Every day I get people judging me, you know, in the playground. I think I was judged all my life because at school I was overweight and I was a bit geeky and I was a tomboy. And then when I came out at 26, I was a little bit backward. So I came out at 26. You know, I lost some what aren't friends, but at the time you think they're friends. So I was judged there. And then I live in a bubble, I think. If I'm out with my family, if I'm out with my boys, they might be whooping or singing or doing something, and I will join in because I'm in my bubble. And as long as my boys are happy, I don't care what other people see now. And I forget that being in a same-sex relationship isn't what everybody sees or what everybody understands, or crikey, a same-sex relationship with children, that blows some people's minds still. And I forget that because I'm in this bubble. And every now and again, I'm made more aware of it. We went somewhere a while ago, and Pix was just, he was on a slide and he was just banging the side of the slide. And me and Mandy were sat having a coffee, and he was all right. He wasn't disturbing anybody. It was just, you know, sensory issues, and it was fun for him. And this girl about the same age as him turned to her dad and said, "What's that boy doing?" And he said, "Oh, don't worry about him. He'll be in prison by the time he's 16. So I just looked at Mandy and she said, "Don't, just don't do it." And to this day, I'm still really annoyed that I took her advice and I didn't go over and say something, because even now I have the conversation in my head of what I would have said. But it just reminded me that my family is different. I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
I actually got a tattoo done. It's in Japanese on my arm, saying only God can judge me, because it's taken me a long time, but I'm okay with thinking people judge me, but I don't care. There you go.
Yeah. So would you recommend adoption?
Yeah, I would.
Right.
I think it's a hard choice. I don't think it's an easy way to build a family, to get kids. But I think it's incredibly rewarding, and I think that you find out that you're stronger than you are. You find out you can do things that you never thought you could do. People say to me, "Oh, you're amazing, it's a wonderful thing you've done," and that actually embarrasses me, because I don't see it as wonderful. I just think, I wanted kids, so I got them. I'm not doing anything to be sainted or for people to say, "Oh, you're amazing." Just wanted a couple of kids. But I always say to people who are considering it, I say, yeah, do it. It's scary and it's hard, but it's fun as well. There's a lot of positives. I think there is. I think my big thing at the moment is I'm kind of getting my dander up to try to, I don't know how, to try to change government mindsets in the way that children's mental health addressed and looked at, and I'm finding my way with that at the moment, and trying to build my confidence to think, actually, you can do this. You can stand up for kids that, or for other parents that don't necessarily have that confidence or that strength. Because I say, you know, we've been waiting for an assessment for a few years now, and it's that. It's the waiting lists and the ineffectiveness sometimes of what you're trying to do. But I probably can't talk about that just yet, because I don't know enough. I'm finding my way still. I think I just wanted to, yeah, just to chat to you really, and tell my story.